What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Andrew Ivins. That is David Lake. We are going to talk Miami, Virginia Tech on this episode of the podcast. A little preview of that game, which will take place on Saturday. Going to get into some other things as well. David, what's up, man?
Doing well. Looking forward to this game. It's a big one. I think you could make the argument, you know, with all the cancellations going on this week in college football, this might be, you know, one of the best games of the weekend, and it might be the most entertaining game of the weekend too. I think for the, you know, neutral, casual observer, this game could be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and it's in that like big noon slate. You know, I think the noon games, a lot of people are flipping around looking for just a competitive contest, and like this will be one of the only ones. I guess one programming note, it was on ESPN2. Now it's on ESPN.
Right.
But I think if you get ESPN, you're going to have ESPN2. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not on the ACC network. So, you know, most of South Florida is good to go with watching this week's game. Again, I think it's an interesting game. We'll get into it here.
I didn't look. Have you seen an updated betting line? I keep seeing
as two. Of early this morning, I saw two.
Yeah.
So it's coming down a little bit. You know, currently it is still two. So Miami is a 2-point underdog. You know, which we'll get into. I kind of touched on why that would be the case earlier in the week on the podcast. I still can see it. I still understand it. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're betting, it kind of makes sense to take Miami as an underdog. I don't know, but we'll get into that.
Well, I mean, I guess let's start with this stat that I texted you, and this comes from Chris Felica at the Bear on ESPN's College Game Day. This was before a bunch of these games got canceled, but he said this is the first week since 2009, like late in 2009, where there was not a single matchup of AP ranked teams in November. That week, four ranked teams lost to unranked teams, with three of those coming on the road. Two other games, the ranked team won by a field goal. So right. Miami's obviously ranked and playing on the road. So are you concerned?
I mean, look, I definitely think Virginia Tech is good enough to beat Miami. I think I think most of our listeners aren't the casual college football fan necessarily that views Miami being ranked as a top 10 team and Virginia Tech being a team that is not ranked and scratching their heads wondering what's going on with this betting line. I think the listeners to this podcast understand that really Miami and Virginia Tech aren't all that far apart. And, you know, I've stated my hot take on this podcast numerous times here this season where, you know, after you get past those, I don't know, top six, top seven teams in college football, I think from 7 to 40, any of those teams can beat any of those teams. You know, they can beat each other any given week. And so I think that's the case this week. Miami certainly had a better season overall to this point than Virginia Tech, but Virginia Tech definitely does some things that are, you know, at an elite level that Miami's going to have to deal with and going to have to handle. And if Miami doesn't handle those things, Virginia Tech has a very good chance to win this game.
Does Brevin Jordan play?
I'm not reporting anything, but I get the sense that yes, I think he is going to play. You know, Manny Diaz has dropped hints here and there. So I straight up asked him on Wednesday. I knew, you know, he's not going to come out and say, but he did say he is hopeful that Brevin Jordan's going to be able to play. He's also said, you know, unavailabilities for the NC State game. They knew of those players being unavailable early in that week leading up to the game. Whereas against Virginia, they were kind of sprung on them 24, 48 hours before that game. So what does that mean? You know, timeline matters with this COVID stuff. And we're not saying Brevin Jordan's COVID, all that stuff. We're kind of assuming, right? And so if Brevin Jordan tested positive early, you know, in the lead up to that NC State game, that means there are more days for him to, you know, quarantine or have to go through the protocols to come back. And so I think that's kind of what Manny Diaz is hinting at, is that the days, the runway is there for Brevin Jordan to conceivably be back for this Virginia Tech game. And so I think he's going to play. But with that being said, I would still think – I kind of think Will Mallory might get the bulk of the snaps at tight end, even if Brevin Jordan is cleared. But, yes, I do think he'll play.
Hmm. So you think Will Mallory has surpassed Brevin Jordan on the depth chart? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just not sure what Brevin has been able to do. How much has he been able to fully practice? How much has he, you know, been able to really immerse himself in the game plan, all that stuff? I just think, you know, it might be unrealistic to expect Brevin Jordan to just immediately step in and play his usual, you know, a ton of snaps like he normally does in a typical game. I think he'll still play plenty. I just think it's going to be maybe a 60-40 split to Will Mallory. We'll see.
You think Brevin, given how this season has played out, is definitely going to have to come back next year?
I mean, maybe to this point, yeah, but there's still opportunities, I think, for him to have big games. And I think if he has big games moving forward, I don't think that's necessarily something that should be assumed. But if, you know, if he doesn't produce, then yeah, he's probably going to have to come back again for next year.
That kind of leads into my next talking point, my next question. Someone did, I don't know who, I wasn't on the Zoom calls, ask Manny Diaz about what's next for Miami at quarterback and really what's next for De'Arik King. And I think Manny said, or something to this degree, I mean, I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically relayed that they haven't even talked with De'Arik about what 2020 is going to be. And I think that was kind of expected.
Yeah, which I think is fair. And, you know, Manny honestly understood the question and, you know, validated it as a fair question, which it is. He said, you know, look, it's close to getting to that time where I do need to have that conversation with De'Arik. But right now, you know, he said, we're still kind of just focused on this season. But he did say, you know, soon we're going to have to need to have that conversation. So it is going to be a conversation they have at some point during this season. But they haven't had it yet. He did also say, you know, they're still recruiting high school quarterbacks. They are still certainly open to adding quarterbacks through the transfer portal. So, you know, all avenues are open with Miami quarterback acquisition, which, you know, you and I both know. We talk about plenty here on this podcast. But it all starts, like, where Miami decides to go at that position begins and ends with what De'Arik decides to do.
Yeah.
In terms of coming back.
I feel like they got to know pretty soon.
I think so too. We'll see. And honestly, a lot of it depends on how De'Arik performs, right? So if he puts together, you know, three straight games like he did at, you know, looking like he did at NC State, it probably makes sense for him to test those NFL draft waters. You know, is that unfair to expect? Maybe. But, you know, let's say his production drops a little bit, but he still is pretty good. I think you could make the case to De'Arik, hey, come back one more year. You know, it'll be a normal off season, hopefully. And you can build even more chemistry with these receivers. You can work with Rhett Lashley again. And I think you could show him recent examples of veteran quarterbacks who significantly increased their draft stocks as older players at the college level. You know, Joe Burrow at LSU, of course, went from being a fourth, fifth round projection before that season to being the number one overall pick. Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma made kind of a similar jump. I'm not saying Derek's going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, but I do think there is potential that if he comes back for another year at Miami, he can make the case to improve how the NFL people view him. And, you know, there's guys at the NFL level, you know, Miami Dolphins fans saw Kyler Murray, looking really good. And Kyler Murray is about the same size as De'Aaron King. Now, Kyler Murray is more dynamic. He is a better player, but there are some similarities there just in terms of size. And size is going to be the biggest question mark for De'Aaron King when talking about NFL. And so if Kyler Murray is out there, you know, having success, it might make the NFL more amenable to welcoming someone like De'Aaron King in at quarterback, giving him a shot as well.
Hey, interesting name. I don't know if he's officially in the portal, but he announced he's going to be in the portal. James Blackman at Florida State. A kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Blackman to the U. Man, it's getting ugly up there in Tallahassee. It's tough times.
I was just saying, I think James could potentially land at Florida Atlantic. Like, that would make a ton of sense. But there hasn't been any other big quarterback names that have entered the portal as of late, right?
No, there hasn't. And, you know, it's going to be a floodgate situation, I think, you know, mid-December to mid-January, right? And it'll continue through the entire offseason. But, yeah, I mean, it is hard to project. You know, Manny Diaz was also asked about the counter situation and how many recruits are they going to take. And he's like, you know, as far as we know right now, it's still 25. So that's what we have to operate under. There's a lot of uncertainty in general with college football, you know, in terms of roster management moving forward. I think we can assume that things are going to open up, you know, both with transferring and with the ability to add more than 25 players. But with the NCAA, you can't really assume anything because logic kind of escapes them at times. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, kind of sticking with the theme of that, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports reported late Wednesday that he believes, or he's hearing, the NCAA's temporary recruiting dead period will be extended into April. So as of right now, it's supposed to end January 1st. He thinks it's going to get extended to April, which means that college staffs will have not seen any recruits face-to-face for over a year, because that dead period started back in March. Also means kids haven't been able to visit anywhere. And it means if you're a class of 2021 recruit, there'll be no official visits. I mean, there was kind of a window I think people were holding out hope for, where after the early signing period in January, during those couple of weekends, you could visit places, but that got pushed back. And honestly, probably not surprising, given the volume of case numbers. I think yesterday being Wednesday, COVID-19 numbers were the highest they've ever been in the United States. And we've seen a ton of games get canceled. So it's just something else to kind of think about if you're Miami. Like, now your guys, your commits, like, they definitely aren't going to have a chance to go visit some other schools.
I think you could make the argument for every school, like every college program, it would be smarter to devote your acquisitions to transfer portals rather than high school recruiting, maybe cycle, right?
No, so, I mean, think about it like this. And this has been the chatter within the recruiting and coaching circles. Why run the risk of taking a guy that you don't really know how big he is? You haven't really seen him in bringing him in and then being tied to that kid for 4 years. I mean, yeah, right. Obviously you could talk him into transferring out, but you still lose that counter. At the same time, you can go get a kid out of the portal that you know has at least been working with some strength coach.
Yeah, and you know the size.
Right, know, right.
There might be tape on him, you know. It's a safer take, in my opinion, to dip into the portal. Can I ask you your opinion on De'Aaron King? Like, let's just say hypothetically, right? The rest of this season, he performs kind of like he did against Virginia, right?
Dude, so, he's going. He's for sure going, okay. If that's what you're going to ask me.
Okay. So Virginia, that performance is good enough the rest of the season for him to go. If he does that, Miami has a chance of winning out. So it would be good for Miami as well, but they would definitely need to dip into the portal again for another quarterback, in my opinion, right?
Right, right. I mean, I keep thinking NFL throws from that Virginia game, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, he could regress. You know, it's not like everything has been excellent for De'Aaron this season. There have been some struggles. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're playing mm-hmm. Clemson, but there's been some other times where he's thrown some bad balls. I just think the Virginia game will be the tape that can kind of push him up or have some scouts kind of change their opinions on him.
Yeah, Virginia, NC State, he's definitely on an upward trajectory right now. You can't deny that. And if he continues, you know, to play at that high level, yeah, it's going to, you know, it kind of comes down to, does he get an NFL shot after this season? And if the answer is yes, you could argue it's probably the smart thing to do for him to just jump at that, right?
Yeah.
So, I agree.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we will get into full Virginia Tech Hokies conversation.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
David, I guess I got to ask you before. If we're gonna talk Virginia Tech, what is the latest on Khalil Herbert? Is he expected to play, yeah, or have they not?
It's under wraps. So, you know, I don't see really any chatter out there. You know, Virginia Tech is not officially saying anything either. So, you know, I think it'll be probably a game time decision. I said this in the last podcast, but you know Khalil Herbert is going to want to play. Can he play? He's dealing with a hamstring, and hamstring injuries are the type that linger for weeks. So, you know, I don't know how to even handicap it in terms of what to expect, whether he is going to play or not. So I don't know, to be honest. I think it is a big deal if he can't go. But I'll say this, the guy that Miami needs to focus on, the guy that makes them go, is quarterback Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. I keep going back in my head to him last season running around in the first half, getting them out to the four-score lead and then kind of holding on. I think if you're Miami, and this is just maybe my mentality in life, like I would expect Herbert to play, like prepare for the worst. Right. You got to do that.
Yeah. Expect Herbert to play. If he doesn't, you know, it's not going to change anything game plan wise. Right. It's just the talent that is the running back playing next to Hooker is not going to be as great. So it would be certainly a good break for Miami if Herbert is unavailable, but you know, that's also just going to mean more on Hendon Hooker's shoulders. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Hendon Hooker, you know, is a good dual threat quarterback that has the ability to handle that type of workload. So, who knows? We'll see. It's a big deal if Herbert's out, but it shouldn't change anything from a game plan standpoint if he is out.
Have you learned anything new about Virginia Tech since we did the last podcast?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's kind of a head-scratcher situation, you know, their defense being as poor as it is, because they do have players. And I think the issue going on there is partly injuries, and they were dealing with some COVID stuff. I think one guy I overlooked a little bit early in the week is Jermaine Waller, who is their best corner. And he's kind of been working his way back slowly, getting more and more snaps with each week. But I think he's still kind of dealing with this nagging hamstring injury, is my understanding. And so he's not quite 100% effective like he normally is. And if he is at 100% effectiveness, he's kind of an all ACC corner. So he's a guy I've kind of been overlooking, I guess, leading up to this game early in the week. And, you know, like I said, if he is good to go 100%, he's definitely an impact player, a big time player, but he's kind of been limited this year and hasn't really been playing at his usual self. And so really, Virginia Tech has better personnel than what we're seeing on defense in terms of production, like how they look. And so to me, it's a little bit head scratching in terms of what's going on over there on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, let's kind of get into our usual game preview. I guess let's start with the player or players you think are going to need to step up for Miami on Saturday.
Yeah. So for me, you know, and this is one of the story of this game, honestly, is kind of, it's like a strength versus weakness kind of deal, right? So Virginia Tech is one of the best running teams in the country, and they do it multiple ways with Hendon Hooker, you know, read option, RPOs, design quarterback runs, all that stuff. They have Khalil Herbert, who's been one of the best running backs in the ACC and in the country this year. So from a Miami standpoint, they need to be a lot better stopping the run. So I'm looking mainly at the linebacker spot. And, you know, quite frankly, they need Bradley Jennings Jr. They need Zach McCloud, Sam Brooks, Corey Flagg to play their best games of the season this week. If they don't, then, you know, simply Virginia Tech has a strong chance to beat you. So, you know, it's going to be a frustrating game for the defense because Virginia Tech has one of the most efficient offenses in the country this year. On first and second down, they run for 5-6 yards a pop almost every single time. So that leads to short third downs, and which they, you know, convert more times than not. So Miami needs to be good at keying in on the run. I think it does begin with Hendon Hooker, who is averaging 100 rushing yards per game this year as well. So, you know, Zach McLeod, Bradley Jennings Jr., you guys got to step up this week.
How much do you think we will see of Corey Flagg, assuming he's a go? Did he play last week, or was he?
He was unavailable still. Okay. Yeah, I think he'll be back this week. I think he's going to rotate in, but I don't think he'll rotate in as much as like Sam Brooks does for Zach McLeod. So, it was interesting against NC State. Sam Brooks played more snaps than Zach McLeod at weak side linebacker for the first time all season. So I think it was 34 snaps for Sam Brooks and 30 snaps for Zach McLeod. So, you know, Zach still got the start, but that transition away from Zach appears to be happening. I think it would have been happening for Corey Flagg as well and Bradley Jennings Jr. at middle. But, you know, the unavailabilities have slowed that down. So, you know, I think it'll be maybe a 65-35 split going to Bradley Jennings with Corey Flagg back. But certainly, you know, if Bradley Jennings Jr. is struggling out there, the coaches need to identify that and start rolling with Corey Flagg.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the underlying storylines, I think, of the game. Like, how much do we see of Flag? I wrote down in terms of the players or players that need to step up for I just said the front seven. I mean, you touched on a bunch of it there. Virginia Tech, number two rushing offense according to the PFF, their grades. Also number seven offense overall. Like, I think, you know, Miami's going to have to hold these guys under a certain number, like maybe under 35 points or under 30 points, and then hope that you can outscore them on the other side of the ball. I think Virginia yeah. Tech is going to score. Like, I think they're going to move it down the field.
Yeah.
So you got to stop the bleeding, and, you know, that starts in that front seven. You got to make them or try to make them one-dimensional. Try to make Hendon Hooker beat you with his arm. And we'll see if Miami can do it. Maybe, you know, turns.
Let me ask you this. What would you do? Like, let's say it's very hard to get this Virginia Tech offense into third and long situations because they do run the ball so well on first and second down. But let's say Miami does get them in third and long situations. How would you approach that? Would you attack Hendon Hooker as a blitzer, but with blitzes? Would you QB spy him?
Oh, I think you got to spy him, right?
I think so. So would you blitz and spy, or I guess?
Yeah, I think so. I guess
this is like the issue of defending him. It's tough.
I know. Then you're asking your corners to do a lot,
right?
But I will say I don't think Virginia Tech's receivers are as good as NC State, but watch, someone will audio clip this and these guys will be catching bombs down the field. I don't know what you do. I mean, I don't get paid to be a defensive coordinator. So.
No, I know. This is the bind that Hendon Hooker puts you in, though, right? Like, and I don't know what the answer is either. I would probably go QB spy and drop guys, but, you know, that's not necessarily what Blake Baker's about on third down and long. I mean, they do like to blitz, which,
well, they like to do that package, which gets both strikers on the field. Like, Keontre's out there, Gilbert Frierson. I think Amari Carter like shifts up into a linebacker role. I think you can still run that. Just don't send the house and keep all that speed on the field. And hopefully those three I just mentioned, you know, I think they're pretty sound and willing tacklers, and you hope they make them in space in the alley.
Right.
I don't know. Like, as cliche, and like you could say this about any game, but I mean, man, holding them to field goals would do wonders, I think.
The one of the key things to watch in this game is going to be, okay, Miami gets them in third and long. How many times does Hendon Hooker scramble for first downs on those plays? If he's able to scramble for, you know, 2, 3, 4 first downs, those are going to be back breakers. And it's probably not going to be a good sign for Miami's defense during the course of the game.
Yeah. Wait, did you ask me a question there or no? Or you, I thought it was a thought though.
It was a thought, okay. But it started with a question.
Okay. Well, I just watched Bryson DeChambeau double bogey at the Masters. I was a little distracted. Sorry. I had to see his reaction. Repeat the question. Hendon Hooker.
No, it's not a question. No, okay. We're good. So next talking point, potential player of the game for Miami. Who you got?
This is an easy one. It's Derek King, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think there is.
Like, I'm going to take that fast break layup right now. I'm sorry. Like,
well, there's potential that he goes off again because.
We saw what Malik Willis did.
Yeah. Malik Willis had a very good game against him or against Virginia Tech. And he has a similar skill set in terms of being, you know, an athletic runner and the ability to throw the ball downfield. Malik Cunningham, the Louisville quarterback, also had a good game against Virginia Tech as a dual threat guy. So that's a good pick. You know, the potential is there. I think I would be disappointed if Derek King doesn't have a good game against Virginia Tech. My guy I'll go with is Jalen Phillips, who kind of along those similar lines too as De'Eric. He's on an upward trajectory, in my opinion. Like, he's getting better and better and better with each week. I think you're seeing him get more comfortable each week playing at his new weight. You know, he's weighing 270 pounds now. He's never done that before on any level. And, you know, one of the overlooked things, I think, from that NC State game was just how impactful Jalen Phillips was. He led the team with 10 tackles. He had 7 quarterback pressures in the game. So he's really starting to turn it up. You know, Miami's going to need him to hound Hendon Hooker the entire game and, you know, make an impact not only as a pass rusher, but also with setting the edge against the run, because Virginia Tech does like to do those outside stretch zone runs. So Jalen Phillips will be my pick.
I think it's a good one. Him and Roche, I feel like have gotten better or have taken their games to another level. And they're going to have to be disciplined against Hendon Hooker, but that's a good pick.
Yeah. And Virginia Tech's offensive line too, grades out as the second best line, run blocking line in the ACC behind only Notre Dame, who we all know is, you know, has monsters up front. So this Virginia Tech offensive line against Miami's defensive line, you could boil down the whole game in a way to who wins that battle. So we'll see.
When going back to my Derek King pick, like I think, given how this has played out and, you know, now it's turning into one of the games of the week. Does that matter? I mean, who knows? I think the players like take that into account. I could see them riding him to the win. If it's tight, like I've said it in the past, like there's going to be a game where Derek King is just going to run it like 25 times. And is this the game? I don't know. I think we saw it a little against NC State when the game was in doubt. I mean, they took some just direct snaps and he just went off tackle to the left. Like,
yeah,
I think there's more of those calls on the play sheet. And we could potentially see them at one point. So big game like this on the road, where you're going to have to score points. Like, yeah, that's kind of why I'm circling him. Let's get into the sports line projections. My favorite segment, the over unders. I should have been tallying up, you know, how many of these you've hit this season. So Sportsline, which is part of the CBS umbrella, they have Miami winning the game. Their computer simulations 34-33. So that would kind of line up with the Vegas spread. And that's also 67 points. And I think the over-under is like 68. So right on the dot.
Wow.
First one I got for you, De'Eric King, over-under 305 yards of total offense. Like, I feel like this is an obvious over.
Yeah, I'll take the over. You know, I think there is potential that he passes for 300 yards alone. And if he does that, he's going to run for more than 5 yards.
Yeah. Well, they got him with 244 passing, 63 rushing. I guess my question is, do you think another one, this will be an unofficial one, like over under 63 rushing yards, would you lean over on that?
See, that I probably would. The only thing that gives me hesitation there is, in general, I would be disappointed if the backs, if the running backs don't have a productive day too. So there could be a scenario where Cam Harris, Jalen Knighton, Don Chaney have good days. And so there's not really much, you know, they don't really need Derek to run the ball. So that's the only thing that would give me pause. But I think taking the over on that makes sense too. Yeah.
I'm avoiding Mike Harley because like they project him at 2 catches and I think he's definitely going to get over that. I scrolled down to another receiver, Keyshawn Smith. I'm assuming maybe he'll be he'll be available or what, right?
Yeah, he should be. I think so. Yeah.
Over under 1.5 catches.
I'll take the under. I think they're just going to ride with the vets moving forward.
Do you think they've separated themselves? Like,
yeah. I think so. I think those top three have even separated themselves significantly from Jeremiah Payton.
That's concerning.
So I mean, unless they come out and just have a bad game, which I'm not expecting anymore. I think they are confident now. And, you know, so yeah, I don't think there's much of a window anymore for these young guys to take snaps from them.
So as much as everyone in Coral Gables gets criticized for their decisions, you're saying that Rob Likens and Rhett Lashley putting a bunch of oars on the depth chart was a smart coaching move?
I mean, yeah, it's a corny move at the same time. Like, you know, it makes the cynical sports writer roll his eyes. But it worked. Like, you can't argue with the results. I will say this. Like, I do think Rob Likens is a beast wide receivers coach. Like, I think he's a stud. And, you know, I think we're kind of seeing that play out here during the course of this season.
Two thoughts on that. Number one, like, as much on our message board, like, there's just thread after thread always bashing coaching. I mean, no one ever gives credit for, like, them potentially maybe figuring out what's, you know, how to motivate these receivers. And number two, I'm starting to kind of, like, agree with you on that Likens take. Like, N'Keal Harry at Arizona yeah. State, like, he got so much out of him. And now yeah. N'Keal is, like, not really, like, doing much with the Patriots. And, you know, there's different factors, injuries, offense, all that stuff. But I do kind of find that interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they got a really good wide receivers coach.
And probably future offensive coordinator.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it certainly, he's done it in the past and he runs the air raid. So it could make sense if Rhett Lashley decides to move on in the future, whenever that would be. But yeah, Rob Likens and Garen Justice. I mean, all these guys Manny added this year, I think have been phenomenal additions.
All right, two more over-unders. Hendon Hooker, over under 70 rushing yards. I'm dying to hear what you got on this.
I'm going to take the over, dude. Yeah, I mean, the guy's averaging 100 yards per game already. I think if you're betting the under, you're betting that Miami's able to sack him a bunch of times, right? Which might happen. But I'm expecting him to, like I said kind of earlier in the podcast, just take on a heavy workload in this game. And so I think he'll end up with more than 70 yards. You agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, here, follow up an additional one. Over under longest rush, 22 yards for Hendon Hooker.
Oof. I don't know, man. I don't want to think about the over on that, so I'll go under.
I will say, like, if they ever had a prop bet for De'Aaron King, like, over under longest rush, I would always smash the over. Like, he's had some long ones at different points this season.
Yeah, he hit like a 50-something yarder against Clemson. That's impressive.
I think it was longer. I thought it was like 60.
No, it was like always, 54, right?
Yeah, because pregame I was in the press box. I'm like, yo, Derek King over under 55 rushing yards, and he almost got it in one play. Okay, last one. Khalil Herbert, let's assume he plays over under 70 rushing yards. I mean, if Miami holds him under, like, you would have to think they've won the game.
I'm going
to
go over if Khalil Herbert plays. But, you know, the dangerous thing with betting this is that he might not play, right?
Yeah, except most sports books, they have like a, if you read the rules, like the player has to play at least one snap and be dressed on the sidelines. Like that's kind of the rule. So
against Liberty, he played one snap though. And
so then you would have made money.
Right. So if he play, like if he's, I guess the point is if he's legitimately playing, he's going to get more than 70 yards. But you're basically betting whether or not he's going to play a full game, I think, with that bet.
Yeah. I mean, but Miami's defense has, like, look at the NC State game. I think in the first quarter, like, Miami's defense didn't really want to tackle anyone.
The better running backs they've played this year, they have not done a good job of containing. You know, Travis Etienne, Javian Hawkins, and Khalil Herbert is producing at the same level as those guys. So if Khalil Herbert's at full strength, he's going to get his 100 yards.
Rank Khalil amongst those other two. Like,
I would probably put him third, to be honest, but that doesn't mean he's not good. Like, he's very good. He's just not quite as explosive as Etienne and Hawkins. I'm a big Hawkins fan. You know, Hawkins doesn't have the size that Herbert does. Herbert has impressive balance and power, but Hawkins can explode on you for long touchdowns, and I'll take that all day.
Okay, well, let's get into our predictions. So again, I said Sportsline has Miami winning 34-33. I didn't have time to look up Odd Shark. I've seen a lot of people actually picking Miami, like some quote-unquote national experts. I've also seen people point out that this is like the perfect trap spot for Miami. So I'll start with mine. To be honest, I woke up this morning and I was ready to pick Virginia Tech.
Ooh. Are you going to do it?
I'm not. I do not want the backlash from it.
Homer.
I think this is going to be close. Like, let's be honest. I think this will be a close game, which means it'll, you know, I said play the under in the NC State game, and that was that almost covered in the first half. But I think it'll be close. And I think both teams are going to score points. So I got Miami 35, Virginia Tech 33. And I think, you know, Miami can win this game if they hold Virginia Tech under 30 points. So what is that? Four touchdowns, you know. I think Miami can get to five touchdowns, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I think it'll be close. I mean, I can absolutely see Virginia Tech winning this game.
Oh, I agree. Virginia Tech can win this game. My pick is along similar lines as you. The margin's a little greater. I'm picking Miami to win 38-28. But I do think it's going to be a close game for the majority of the game. To me, like, we talk about the Khalil Herbert injury, that is a big deal, but Virginia Tech is banged up at a lot of different positions, key positions for them outside of Khalil Herbert. And, you know, we'll see how those end up going. I think an hour before the game, because Virginia Tech announces that stuff too, an hour before the game. But in general, you know, I think Miami is a little more well-rounded as a team. Virginia Tech does one thing really, really, really well, and Miami's going to have to account for that. But Miami, you know, their offense is a little more balanced. Their defense, there are concerns with their run defense, but in general, their defense is playing much better than Virginia Tech's defense, and Miami's special teams has been playing better than Virginia Tech. So, again, Virginia Tech is certainly good enough to win this game. But I'm picking Miami 38-28.
Are you saying that the special teams is playing better because of the miscue last week from Justin Fuente, or is
They had like a muff punt as well.
Oh, okay, like in Miami hasn't had a muff punt?
Well, fair. Fair. But yeah, I'm still sticking with that point that Miami special teams is playing better.
Okay, I'm fact checking you over here. That's
bring
why.
It. Bring it.
Final thing for me, I had on, I know I saw some people tweeting about this. Fox Sports Florida was playing the 2008 state title game on, I think they played it on Wednesday and Tuesday night. But anyways, it was a sophomore Teddy Bridgewater leading Miami Northwestern against Sanford Seminole, which had Ray Ray Armstrong, Dyron Dye, and Andre DeBose. That was awesome to watch.
Did you see a young David Lake on the sideline taking photos?
Were you there?
Oh, yeah. I was there, dude. I was working that game.
You're in the cut?
Yeah, man. Yeah, big Ray Ray Armstrong guy here at that time.
Well, here's my takeaway. After watching pretty much that entire game and then having watched James Williams, I think James Williams is more safety than Ray Ray Armstrong was.
Ooh, okay. Tell me why.
I mean, it was on TV, but I just thought Ray Ray was a lot looked bigger and like had a bigger frame. But again, it's what, 12 years ago, so maybe pads are different. But I was just kind of like one of my thoughts coming out of it. My other thought was, excuse me, like super teams have kind of killed like how awesome high school football used to be. Like Ray Ray Armstrong played quarterback. And then
yeah,
played.
He was incredible.
Yeah, but it's like, has IMG just killed that? Like guys don't go both ways anymore. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was rare even back then, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, Ray Ray was a monster. He put that team, like they had some other good players like Andre DeBose, who ended up at Florida. Dyron Dye ended up at Miami. But he put that team on his back. They weren't much before him, and they haven't really been much as a program since. And, you know, he put them on his back to win that game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was texting my buddy who was also watching. I mean, I'm sure most of the people listening have seen this game, and if not, you can find the game-winning touchdown pass from Ray Ray to DeBose with, like, I think less than a minute left. And I text my friend, I'm like, the guy who just threw this pass is currently on the Seattle Seahawks practice squad roster as a linebacker. Like, it's just insane to me. Like, he was.
I mean, that tells you how talented he is, though, because he, you know, he never embraced being a linebacker at Miami. He, you know, they wanted him to be a linebacker. He wouldn't do it. He got caught up in the Nevin Shapiro stuff, and, you know, him and Al Golden, too, didn't exactly get along. And so we never saw him blossom at Miami, but he's, you know, ever since he's hanging around in the NFL, and that just tells you how talented he is with his length, his size, his combination of speed. He's an impressive talent. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out at Miami as well as it should have. But I still stand by him being a big, big, big time talent coming out of the high school level.
Yeah, it was just cool to see that. Like Fox Sports, Florida, like if you listen to this podcast, play more of those games, please.
What did you think of Teddy B?
I didn't know he was a sophomore until I think I texted you. He was super raw, but like, dude, you could see it. It was good for me to like witness that because now I know what to compare it to when other people are like, oh, this guy's really good as a high school quarterback coming out of South Florida. Like you hear all the time, coaches will be telling you that this guy's the next big one, and it's like, okay. But now I have a sample size to see. I think at one point in the game he was like 5 of 7 for 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. That is insane. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And the crazy thing too is he had to deal with the expectations of following Ja'Cory Harris and that crew.
Yeah.
So like they had just had the best team in the country at the high school level, and Teddy comes in as a sophomore and does that. Now, they ended up losing the game. It's disappointing, but, man, he was – yeah, you could definitely tell at that time this guy's going to be a star.
It's just cool. Cool to witness and kind of compare what recruiting was 12 years ago to what it is now. David, no, you're not. That's not what I was saying at all. That's not what I was trying to infer. I just thought it was cool. Like, it was watch Mac football or watch that. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this.
I'm with you.
All right, we will be back Saturday or Sunday, recap podcast, and then I'm sure we'll talk recruiting at some point moving forward. Appreciate you guys listening. Follow, subscribe, like. It's much appreciated.
Thanks, guys. Take care.